This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
Given the possible horrors that await us, I think it's, and given our seeming inability as a society or the world to cope with them, that cynicism seems a partly valid response.
Do you ever find yourself sitting stuck in traffic with your thoughts, moving from benign irritation with the sheer number of cars on the road to a fixation upon humanity's encroaching doom? If you do, then this week's episode of Sea Change Radio is right up your alley, or freeway, or creaky bridge. First, we talk to Stephanie Lemke, the founder of a carpooling app for families who are sick of carting their children all over town in a not-so-environmentally friendly manner and want a convenient way to connect with other riders and drivers. Then we indulge those of you who tend toward catastrophic thinking by speaking with Jim Parry, a former ad executive who is now an author and cynic. He's put together a very informative and sometimes darkly humorous compendium of some of the biggest hurdles facing humankind today. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Stephanie Lemke. She is the founder of Go Kid. Stephanie, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Thanks so much. I'm really happy to be here.
So what is Go Kid? It's a really cool idea and I wanted you to share it with our listeners.
Yes, absolutely. So Go Kid is a little more than an idea. We started building out a solution that helps parents set up and manage carpools for their families. And that's mostly for their kids, actually. So I'm a parent, and a couple of years ago, I moved with my family from New York City to the suburbs, Connecticut, and I found myself constantly stuck in traffic, getting my kids to school, but also after-school activities. And I thought, in the age of, you know, technologies like Uber and Lyft, it's incredible that no one has thought about a solution that helps parents to connect and set up carpools. And it really bugged me. I couldn't stop thinking about it. And I put my own money in, and we built a solution that is now live in the app stores, in Google Play, and on the web that lets you do exactly that.
And walk us through how it might work for a couple different families whose kids go to the same school or different schools.
Sure. So the easiest example is you have a morning event. You need to get your kid to, maybe it's orchestra practice, and there are no buses. And you reach out, the first thing you would do is reach out to some neighbors. And then you set up the carpool, maybe every Monday and Wednesday, for this orchestra practice in GoKid. You download it from the App Store or the Google Play Store, or you go to our website, www.gokid.mobi. You create a carpool by setting up the times and the locations your child is coming from, and then you send simply an invitation to the other parents. Once they accept, the magic happens. We put our technology puts together the schedule. We'll let you know which kid is in the carpool. We also do the routing, so we'll let you know when to pick up the other kids. It is volunteer. It's a volunteer system. So we ask the parents or their caregivers to volunteer to do these rides. And if there's a parent, you know, a driver missing for a specific date, we send everyone in the group an alert. Hey, please volunteer to drive. And it really works. They do volunteer. And so then everyone knows who's driving, which kids are in the car, and what's the best route to take. We also send out alerts. It's your turn to drive today, please get ready. And for your kids, we send out an alert. Your driver is coming, please get ready. So basically the technologies, a lot of people are familiar with the technologies, but we put them together for a new carpool experience. And the nice thing is we can measure the effects. So by today, we have 600,000 rides scheduled out and, you know, set up on GoKid, and we measure the impact. We know how many miles have been saved, over 9 million by today, how much time has been saved, and how much, you know, how many tons and pounds of CO2 have been saved. And you know, that's really important, and this is what drives our company.
Yes, when I had a child who went to elementary school, I couldn't help but think that there were so many of these parents who were making individual drives that were probably extraneous. When you were researching this, what kind of data did you come across that made your solution compelling?
Yeah, so that's a great question, because I started with my own problem. I was like, hey, I need help. But frankly, here in New York and Connecticut, there's a pretty good public school bus system, and there is public transportation. So I thought, oh, it can't be so bad. But then we looked into other states, and we looked into some numbers and studies. And what was really shocking is that over 30 million kids are being driven to school every single day, because half of all schools in the US no longer provide busing. And that's really something that completely surprised me. One of the worst states is California, but also in the Midwest, there are states where schools simply can't afford running a school bus any longer. And this is when parents are forced to drive. So this is also what prompted us to build a solution for schools specifically. So beyond the apps, we help schools that have no buses to set up a system so that other parents can find each other. It's basically, think about a map view that we get access to only the families in one school, and then you can search by distance who lives close by, and you can search who has kids in the same class. Once you find a good match in that, we call it GoKid Connect, our school solution. Once you find a good match, you reach out to that family, make sure you're all on the same page, and then you set up the carpool and use our front-end technology, so our apps, to coordinate the rides.
So the school is kind of the hub to introduce people to the idea of the app, and then the app does the rest. Is that fair to say?
Exactly. But it's almost like, think about it like an additional piece of software that we license to the schools to make these connections. And the administrators in the school can also see how many couples have been created, you know, how many family have signed up. So they get their own insights into the solution.
So you have like a basic free version of your app, and then you also have a premium one, which is like $5 a month. Do you also, you mentioned licensing it to the schools. Is that just is that in the abstract, or do schools pay to use the GoKid app?
Yes, so maybe I'll talk about how we monetize. Since we need to monetize, we would love to give it out for free, but we have a team of seven people constantly improving technology, mostly on the development side. So as you mentioned, the app, the core technology is free to use, and you can download it from the App Store and Google Play Store, GoKid, or from our website. But then we are charging for additional features that just make it better. For example, live tracking of the vehicle. So you know exactly when the other parent is leaving the house, you can live track the vehicle and you get alerts tied to that. Or you can integrate the entire carpool schedule to the Google Calendar. And a couple of other features, and we're charging $4.99 a month or $49.99 for an annual subscription. Then we have the school solution, and for that we are entering in with the schools into license agreements. That solution starts at $4,000 a year. It's a software as a service agreement.
Why don't you walk us through the setup for people who might not be very technologically sound? You mentioned it's on the Android store. Is it also on the Apple App Store?
Yes. So you can find it on the Google Play Store and you enter GoKid, right? And once you see the app come up, you download it and then you register yourself as a family. Similarly, the Apple Store has you just type in GoKid carpool and then our app appears, you download it. The third way to get to GoKid is to enter our website. Go to our website, www.gokid.mobi. That's GOKID.MOBI. And then there's a sign up for parents and you start registering. And, you know, it's similar to other apps. You register your name, your last name, email, and then you start setting up the carpool with other families. And for that, we also ask that you register at least one of your kids, because it is a solution for children.
And it's not just a solution for the United States either, is it?
No, what really surprised us when we launched the solution in 2018, we launched the full product. What really surprised us is how many users we also have in other territories. It's 40 countries by now. So everyone who's like understands English and uses Google Maps for directions, it basically can use GoKit. I mean, our core users are still in the US, 92% of our users. Canada, we have 4%. And then it's really 4% rest of the world with the UK and Australia leading. But it is interesting. We have pockets of users in Norway, you know, where for some reason someone found us and started using us. And we are here in the US in over 900 communities. So the interesting piece is we are not a driver-based service. So we don't put additional vehicles on the road. We don't need to hire drivers, but it's really a shared mobility solution that lets one family start it, and they invite on average two other families, and they create these carpools and they use it over and over. So one carpool is not just one ride back and forth. Typically for a child, it's like 10 or 20 rides for the entire soccer season. It might be 30, 40 trips. For the school season, it's 100 trips. So they, our users, once they discover us, use us over and over. And it becomes very sticky because it's so helpful. It organizes you, but it also gives you the extra safety and security features.
You're not responsible. What does it have to do with me? What is my reaction? What should it be? Confronted by this latest atrocity.
Follow the shift to sustainability with Sea Change Radio on Twitter at twitter.com/SeaChangeRadio and on our Facebook page.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio, and I'm speaking to Dr. Stephanie Lemke. She's the founder of GoKid, which is a carpool app for parents and kids getting to and from school. So how do we get it to really scale? What kind of hopes do you have for it in terms of it going truly viral?
That's the big question, right? So far, we have 600,000 carpool rides scheduled in GoKid. It's not the daily users, it's the overall carpools scheduled so far. But it's really engaging communities. It's spreading the word. So far, we built the product. We have not spent money on marketing. This is where we are starting now. And we have some channel partners. So I talked about the school solution. We are addressing schools and creating awareness that carpooling is much better than everyone, you know, driving their child and just their child back and to and from school, and parents get that. The other partner channel is a sports team. So 33 million kids are in organized sports, after school sports in the US alone. So that's a ton of driving every day as well. We have integrated with technologies like TeamSnap and Sports Engine that is being used by sports managers and league managers. And so we can help parents that, let's say your daughter is in a soccer team and they're using TeamSnap. You can now, with that integration from GoKid to TeamSnap, you can now find other parents that have kids in the same team and start a carpool with them. So we make it easier through these channels. We also work, we are starting to work with city and regions. Last year, we received a grant in Michigan, and Michigan was really interested to bring us to various types of schools and see the effect of, you know, talking about a solution in a state. So we will be writing up a report at the end of this pilot phase in Michigan, and we're talking to many other communities and states at the moment. The fourth piece is corporations. I mean, we all know that changing behavior is hard, and corporations are really at the forefront currently from what we see in a sustainable behavior and promoting sustainable behavior. So we are in talks with many corporates right now to introduce GoKid as an employee benefit program so that it becomes part of your daily routine. You know, share the ride, don't drive alone, and corporations enforcing that behavior. But it really takes a society, it takes all of us, it takes media to bring the change to this behavior, not to drive alone, but share the rights.
The competitive landscape is interesting. What would happen if Lyft or Uber decided to try to add an element of this? A lot of parents of school children are driving for Lyft or Uber. Couldn't you see these 900-pound gorillas entering this marketplace? Or do you think that they would be more interested in adding GoKids technology to their solution?
That's a great question. Currently, Lyft and Uber are not, that the drivers are not allowed to transport children. So anyone under the age of 13 cannot be driven alone in an Uber and Lyft. So, and our core demographic are really parents with children ages 6 through 14. So we really serve a somewhat, you know, younger demographic where parents still want to drive their kids, but they don't want to drive as often, and they want to only have their kids drive not with strange drivers, but really with parents that they know and trust. So I think we are in a very different model. I don't see Uber and Lyft necessarily going after our market, but I could well envision a partnership, because Uber and Lyft are becoming mobility hubs. So users go to it and look up public transportation schedules. They also look up bike shares. And why not a ride share for children? And that is community driven. So we actually see us, and that has always been our philosophy, to partner with these players in the field. Because ultimately, our society will work much better when all options are available to everyone.
Stephanie Lamke, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
It has been a pleasure. Thank you so much, and thank you for all the great work you're doing through your show.
To listen to Sea Change Radio anytime, anyplace, just subscribe to our free podcast. Simply follow the link from seachangeradio.com or search for us in the iTunes podcast directory.
I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Jim Parry. His latest book is called The Top 10 As We Hit Bottom. Jim, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Thank you.
So you wrote this very interesting looking book. It's not your normal environmental screed by any means. It's got terrific illustrations by Ron Barrett, who listeners may know as the illustrator behind Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. It's got a very interesting way of presenting some pretty dire, stark information. Why don't you kind of tell us what inspired you to create this?
Well, I grew up reading science fiction. So I've always been interested in, you know, what the future may hold. And a lot of science fiction is, of course, apocalyptic. So I think I had that bent to begin with. And then about 10, 12 years ago, I began to be convinced that global warming was real and that it was man-made. I actually then wrote a thriller about 7 years ago based on that, set in the year 2060 with Manhattan half underwater and hot. Nobody bought it, but I went back to that idea about 2 years ago, feeling, well, because of the popularity of top 10 lists, that maybe I could put together a book of top 10 lists having to do with, you know, the 10 top different kinds of things that could happen with global warming and climate change. And then as I was doing that, I said, well, why should I limit myself to global warming and climate change, because there's so many other apocalyptic things that could happen to us. So that's where I went, into nuclear war and cyber war and pandemics, which seems very appropriate right now since we're worried about the coronavirus.
Yes, and you're the founder of the Center for Impending Doom, which I assume is a one-man center.
Yes, it exists between my two ears. That's the only, that's where it is, yes. Now, Alex, for what it's worth, back in high school, I was voted class cynic of my high school graduating class, which at the time I thought was sort of a knock on me. But since then, I have gradually come to see it as a badge of honor and have actually, given the possible horrors that await us, I think it's and given our seeming inability as a society or the world to cope with them, that cynicism seems a partly valid response.
What's your target demographic with this?
I guess people like me. That is, I think that the target demographic is anybody who has been paying attention and knows that man-made climate change is real and is also aware that there are other dangers lurking out there from cyber war to pandemics. But somebody who would like to have more information but would appreciate it with a bit of humor, because if you just take it without the humor, it's very depressing, you know, and who would want to keep reading? You know, I like to think that I am have a good sense of humor. When I was at Harvard, I founded a magazine to compete with the Lampoon. And then years later, with a friend of mine, we wrote two screenplays, humorous screenplays. One sold to Columbia, one to Universal. And so I think I know how to write about serious topics with a little bit of dark humor.
And also you did advertising, correct? And this is,
yes.
This book, The Top 10 As We Hit Bottom, is really eye-catching, not just for the illustrations, but for the layout. It seems like this was a big part of the labor of love here, is trying to make it eye-pleasing as well.
Right. Well, I was at a couple of really good advertising agencies back during the so-called creative revolution. And one of the people I met back there is Ron Barrett. And I also knew him as a neighbor in Park Slope, Brooklyn. And I knew as I was going onto the web and compiling this information of top 10 lists, I knew from the beginning that the book needed illustrations and needed humorous illustrations and needed sort of to be informed by, oh, I don't know, I guess you call it the aesthetics that I picked up at a couple of really good advertising agencies, one of which I worked at with Ron. So that's the look and feel of this book, exactly.
And let's look at some of the different lists when it relates to the environment and climate change. You have one that's the top 10 countries dealing with climate change. Number one, is in terms of doing it the best, is Sweden. Number two, in terms of doing it the worst, is this country, the United States. These are informative lists, and some of them not as obvious, but also informative. The top 10, 11 U.S. cities whose rat population is growing fast. That's not one that I would necessarily consider under climate change, but as the climate warms, rats proliferate. I was shocked to learn that, and I'm sure some of my friends in Portland, Maine would be disappointed to hear that they came in number one as the fastest growing rat population in the United States.
Yep.
When you're kind of explaining to somebody who hasn't read the book yet, what are some of the ones that are ones that are near and dear to your heart that get the most reaction, maybe surprise, and at the same time inform people?
Well, sticking with global warming, among those lists, I think it was interesting of the top 10 enterprises that will make money on global warming, or at least think they will. So I think number one right there is, I don't have it in front of me, but I believe they are selling derivatives based on climate change. So there's a whole market in, you know, making, somebody's going to make investments and hopefully make money off the misery of the rest of us. Some of the other lists, well, it was amusing and disheartening. There's a list of the top 10 ridiculous things that Donald Trump has said about global warming. That was interesting. I think the I found a list of the top 10 cities that have held Winter Olympics that will be increasingly unable to hold the Winter Olympics because of lack of snow. To give you an example of how the grimness of that is tempered by, you know, what the book looks and feels like, Ron Barrett did a wonderful illustration. Actually, it's a split illustration. So it shows a ski jumper taking off, and looming underneath him of what he may very well land on is not nice deep snow, but rocks. And then the other part of the illustration is an Olympic figure skater, and under her, you know, the ice is melting. With, you know, she may end up in black water. So, you know, you look at this list, and at least you get a little bit of humor over over what the future Olympics may face. Similarly, there was a the Maldives, because it's one of the prime islands that is likely to go under, so it makes the top 10 list of, you know, islands that are most likely to go under. To dramatize what the islands face, the prime minister had a underwater cabinet meeting. This is for real, where he and about 10 of his cabinet members donned scuba gear, went down to the bottom of the well, they didn't go down that deep, but they went down underwater, sat at the bottom, and from there wrote and issued a proclamation basically saying, please help us. So Ron has done a wonderful illustration of this cabinet meeting with, you know, guys in suits and ties sitting around with scuba gear on and fish swimming around them. So it's a funny illustration of a real thing that happened.
So, Jim, as you research these very depressing stats and top 10 lists, a lot of good fodder for the Center for Impending Doom. What do you hope people take out of it in terms of positive messaging? No one can really walk around and be a productive member of society if they really believe that everything's going to hell in a handbasket, right?
That's right. Well, I mean, the only thing to do, I mean, I know it sounds very simplistic, but I would just say vote the straight Democratic ticket. Vote for whoever emerges from the Democratic Convention in Milwaukee. Vote for that person. And vote Democrats for the Senate, the House, state legislatures. The Republican Party is hopeless on this. That's the most responsible thing to do, I think.
Well, the book is called The Top 10 As We Hit Bottom: What Global Warming, Nuclear War, Cyber War, Pandemics, Supervolcanoes, Asteroid Strikes, Out of Control, AI, and Other Unpleasantries Could Do to Us. The author is Jim Parry, the illustrations by Ron Barrett. Jim, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Thank you very much.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise. Additional music by the Backyard Heavies, The Police, and Harry Manx. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.